Welcome to this podcast from the Commonwealth Club of California, a nonprofit, nonpartisan forum open to the public. I'm Gloria Duffy, President and CEO of the club. To learn more about events or membership, join us online at commonwealthclub.org.
Welcome to the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm George Hammond, Chair of the Humanities Forum, which together with the Lundberg Institute organized tonight's event. We welcome our audience here in San Francisco and our radio and our online audiences. It's my great pleasure to introduce the speaker tonight. But before I introduce the speaker, I want to tell you about the sponsor. This is the third annual Lundberg Institute lecture here at the Commonwealth Club. It's been a great success, always well attended, on a great series of medical topics. And we couldn't have any better timing than we have for tonight's topic. The Lundberg Institute is a small, not-for-profit organization in Los Gatos dedicated to promoting patient-centered, shared medical decision-making. Its credo is one patient, one physician, one moment, one decision. Let it be a shared decision informed by the best evidence and considering cost. The president and the board chair is Dr. George Lundberg, longtime editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association and current chief medical officer of Calabrix, just across the street from our offices here. George Lundberg, a very distinguished career in medicine. So, and George knew Peter's father, so I'll get to that later. So, our speaker tonight is Peter Lee, the executive director of Covered California, which is California's version of Obamacare. And as some of you may or may not know, some of the states are doing this individually with money from the federal government. Other ones decided not to do it, and therefore all the people of those states have to go into the federal program. But and the split of that has been pretty much between the Democratic governors and the Republican governors, being either for or against it. So Peter received his undergraduate education at UC Berkeley and his law degree from USC. His career is focused on various aspects of health policy, from AIDS in the 1980s, quality of care in the 1990s, business aspects of medicine in the early 2000s, followed by innovation in Medicare and Medicaid. He's a member of an illustrious California Lee medical family. Peter's grandfather, Russell V. Lee, founded the Palo Alto Medical Clinic, and his father, Peter, was a longtime professor at the USC School of Medicine, and his uncle, Phil, was Assistant Secretary of Health for both President Johnson and President Clinton, as well as Chancellor of UCSF. Peter Lee is the founding executive director of Covered California, the state health insurance exchange most likely to serve as a model to rescue Obamacare. So tonight we're going to ask Peter. We're going to ask Peter, how's it going in California, Peter? Peter Lee.
Great. Thank you very much. Well, good evening. Thank you for that introduction, and I want to thank both the Commonwealth Club and the Lundberg Institute, and also George, who the last time I saw George, I had hair as long as his, and I was a teenager. But it really is a pleasure to be here. And I will say that the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is actually doing pretty darn well here in California. So, and I'm going to go through not so much the brass tacks of why it's going well. I actually want to talk today about some of the myths about the Affordable Care Act. But before I do that, let me provide a little bit of context. October 1st, we opened our doors. And that was the opening of healthcare marketplaces, not only in California, but across the nation. That was a historic marking point where we said as a nation for the first time, we're changing the rules of healthcare so that people can never no longer be denied health care because of their health status, that individuals can't be denied health care because of their financial position. Every American will get a financial leg up to afford health care, and the insurance industry and the insurance system is going to be changed forever to not be about what it is in many ways today, which is has been historically about avoiding sick people, to making the insurance system about helping people get the right care at the right time. And I want to appreciate what the Lundberg Institute is about. It's, in many ways, the shared decision-making that is anchored in what do patients want and need in an informed way while considering costs, in many ways, is the future path we need to have for our healthcare system, instead of a health insurance system, which is about gaming and avoiding sick people. We're now on a path of changing that. So I think we have actually a lot to celebrate here in California, because with opening of our doors, we're opening the doors for the first time for millions of Californians, millions of Americans, to have access to care they've never had access to before. We are, for the first time, saying that we as a nation have health care as a right, not a privilege. That is a very, very historic thing. It is, without doubt, the biggest change in health care since the launch of Medicare 50 years ago. And in many ways, it's bigger. Medicare, incredibly important. It said that we will no longer let our seniors go into poverty, have no access to needed care. But it was a slice. We're saying with the Affordable Care Act that all Americans should have access to quality care and not be denied it because of insurance policies or because of affordability. So it is the time to celebrate. As we seek to celebrate, though, the last 3 years have been fraught with disinformation and misinformation about the Affordable Care Act. And there's a bunch of myths out there. I'm not going to talk about the black helicopters or the chips that get injected into you when you sign up, which I've heard about some of these recently. But I am going to talk about and seek to dispel three of the big myths about the Affordable Care Act. Myths about its past, its present, and its future. So first, I'm going to talk about its past. One of the myths is that the Affordable Care Act is very partisan. It's not. Now, you're going to say, what do you mean it's not? Well, rather, it's a collection of policies. When you look at actually what the Affordable Care Act is, it reflects policies that reflect the best of both Republican and Democratic policies developed over the last 50 years, ideas that have been built over 50 years from a range of ideological and philosophical perspectives, market-based and yet community-based. Now, the reaction to it has been partisan, but Obamacare, the policies are very nonpartisan and bipartisan, and I'm going to come to that. Second, about the present. Well, there's a lot of talk out there that the Affordable Care Act has already been deemed a failure. Now, it was deemed a failure by some the moment it passed. Then it was deemed a failure because it wasn't going to pass the Supreme Court. Then it wasn't going to pass a second election term of President Obama, et cetera. Well, I'm here to tell you that we're 6 weeks in to the first six-month open enrollment period, and it is far from a failure. And I'm going to talk about some of the bumps we've had in California, the national scene, where we're setting in motion a competitive marketplace, both here in California and nationally, that's going to serve us for the next generation. Now, I will note that this is a train that has left the station. There's pebbles on the tracks, but this is something that is gaining momentum not only in California, but in those 34 states that are actually relying on the federal exchange. So it is absolutely not a failure. And finally, I want to talk about the future. So many say the Affordable Care Act is, quote-unquote, only about coverage, providing access to care. And I want to note that access to care is incredibly important. But we health policy wonks often talk about the holy trinity of access, quality, and cost. Well, I want to address that directly by noting that the Affordable Care Act provides us as a nation with the best tools we've ever had to actually get our arms around the issues of health care costs and delivering better quality. So I also look forward to having time to engage you in discussion and questions about some of the things that, and if you're reporters, your first question is going to be, but tell us the numbers, and I'll come to the numbers. So the first myth, number one, that there are a lot of people out there that believe the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is partisan. They believe that it's this government-run insurance system that's going to put us on the path, the socialism. Well, you heard that George Lumberg knew my father. 50 years ago, my dad was at USC, and he actually signed on and endorsed Medicare. A bunch of the alumni of USC Medical School tried to get him fired because he was promoting a commie plot to take over America. That's Medicare. Okay, Medicare people do not see as a socialist takeover of America. Rather, they see it as an essential component of providing high-quality care to our seniors. Well, let's be clear that in the reaction to the Affordable Care Act, politicians in Washington, state houses across the country, have absolutely made the Affordable Care Act a partisan issue. They've made that a partisan issue out of their focus on not wanting to give President Obama and the Democratic Congress a win. And it will be a win on the scale of Medicare, on the scale of Social Security, and these are going to be the next generation of health care. But the policies that are in the Affordable Care Act are very bipartisan. So let me take you on a note of why does it seem partisan? Well, it seems awfully partisan when you have the federal government shut down. And it seemed like it was a joke. The late night folks were talking about it as a funny thing about the government shutdown. But one of my sisters is here and back. And instead of having national parks being open, they were shut down out of a political ploy to try to get points around something. The White House estimates the shutdown cost our economy $20 billion. Now, that was a very partisan thing. But again, the Affordable Care Act, not partisan. Another thing, you'd say, well, isn't it partisan because we have 34 states, states like Texas and Florida, that haven't just stood on the sidelines of the Affordable Care Act and embraced an historic opportunity for their citizens to expand Medicaid. They've refused to set up their state exchanges like we have in California. They've refused to address the needs of their citizens. They take a stance of trying to politically damage the president. Those actions, absolutely partisan. But while those actions are partisan and political, let's look at the roots of the Affordable Care Act of the last 100 years. Now, I know we only have 40 minutes or so I'm not going to get into too much detail, but I will start in 1912 when Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican icon, ran for president on the platform including national health insurance. Another Republican leader once said, equal access for all to health care. We must do all we can to end any racial, economic, social, or geographical barriers which may prevent any citizen from obtaining adequate health protection. That was 30 years ago when President Richard Nixon urged Congress to pass a national health plan. Nixon knew firsthand the devastating effect of having family members without health insurance. He watched his family struggle, and including two of his brothers, dying at a young age. He told the nation, this is Richard Nixon, the time is at hand this year to bring comprehensive, high-quality health care within reach of every American. Richard Nixon's proposal was an employer mandate. Okay? He wanted to require all companies to provide health care for their employees and have the government help those who couldn't afford to buy health care insurance. That was 1974. So let's be clear, though. It's not only Republicans that have supported health reform and some of the policies these are based on. If you look over the last 100 years, Democrats like Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Lyndon Johnson, who managed to get Medicare expansion in with some assistance from my Uncle Phil, have had a big role in promoting health reform. More recently, the biggest expansion in health coverage we've had since Medicare was the Children's Health Insurance Plan. Now, that's covered millions of young Americans. That was a joint product of Senator Edward Kennedy and the very Republican Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah. Well, now we're in the process of not only implementing an employer mandate, which, as you know, will have penalties that take effect in 2015, but also the individual responsibility requirement, often called the individual mandate. Well, that component was touted as the core solution for coverage expansion by the Heritage Foundation 25 years ago. That solution was the same concept put forward by a group of Republican senators as the alternative to President Clinton's health reform plan. And looking more recently, 2006, we got our first look at the template for what is now the Affordable Care Act when Governor Mitt Romney, the Republican governor in Massachusetts, signed what is now known as Romney Care. Well, or the Massachusetts Connector. Romney called that a giant leap forward and said his proposal, his goals were to provide every citizen with affordable, comprehensive health insurance. He said if it was successful, it would be a model for the nation. He backpedaled a little bit more recently, but he's been right. You know, a recent study showed that the number of uninsured in Massachusetts dropped from 8% down to 3%, and that model, having a competitive marketplace, requiring health plans to accept everyone, providing financial support to those who need it, is now on the path to working in California and across the nation. So finally, in the spirit of bipartisanship, I want to bring it home here to California. So I am the product of bipartisan work. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger looked at what was happening in Massachusetts. And in typical California fashion, he said, I want to do better. And many of you may remember, it wasn't that long ago, that he introduced what many called the boldest and most comprehensive health reform plan in the nation. He wanted to leave a legacy. Well, the recession tanked that. It didn't happen. But what he did say is, after the passage of the Affordable Care Act, California stepped up, the first state in the nation to say, we will implement the Affordable Care Act in California for Californians. That was done with a Republican governor and a Democratic legislature. And when they did that, we in California had a head start that we are benefiting from today, that millions of Californians are benefiting from today. Since that time, we in California, through what is now called Covered California, have built, have laid out a roadmap and built on it to actually have a public and private sector solution that will be self-sustaining, nimble, and reflecting the spirit of California. Here in California, we built partnerships with insurers, with insurance agents, with counties, with consumer groups, churches, schools, across the board. And that's because the Affordable Care Act underlying foundation is woven through with concepts of market solutions as well as community solutions to make everyone's taken care of. It's the best of bipartisanship. So let me now take you to the second myth, which is that the Affordable Care Act has failed. It's not working. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. So yesterday I was at a press conference in Sacramento, and I had the honor of telling our state and the nation about how we're doing 1 month in to the Affordable Care Act being launched. And I released numbers. Remember, we're talking about the first month of a six-month open enrollment period, which is marking the beginning of the next generation of healthcare in America. We were able to tell you some big numbers. 2.5 million people have visited coveredca.com. Now, I will note, coveredca.com is not healthcare.gov. It is a very working website that people are enrolling in readily in a very fast, timely manner. Our call centers answered over 250,000 phone calls. 370,000 Californians started applications for coverage. 150,000 were determined eligible, either for Medi-Cal or for a Covered California plan, many with financial help, many without financial help. Of those, 72,000 were determined eligible for Medi-Cal. And again, this is where California has done the right thing. Governor Jerry Brown and our legislature said, yeah, we're going to expand Medi-Cal. We're going to step up and do what the Affordable Care Act allows us to do, which means 1.4 million Californians, will, the lowest income Californians, will have access to care. I actually pity, and it actually, I think it's a travesty, that other states are not expanding Medicaid, not taking advantage of a 100% federal support to cover the people that need it most. They're playing politics with their citizens' lives. California didn't do that. We had 86,000 eligible for Covered California. Now, of those, 31,000 picked a health plan. Went all the way. This is 2 months before coverage starts, which is in January. So way down the road. And since then, though, it's picking up. Every day, we got 2,000 people a day enrolling in plans. Well, a couple things about those people that have signed up. You know, I am sort of a numbers guy. I see a lot of friends and colleagues here who know that I really like numbers. But it's not about the numbers. It's about touching real people's lives. So let me give you a couple of the people who have signed up, like Hillary in Oakland, who wrote us and said, not only did I get the peace of mind I was looking for, having insurance has helped me regain some of the dignity that I feel I lost without insurance. She told us she will no longer be embarrassed about being uninsured or getting turned down for care or be forced to choose between eating and paying her medical bills. People like Jesse in San Francisco, he told us, if I hadn't received affordable coverage, I might have given up on my dream of creating my own business. People like Sarah and Joe in Los Angeles, telling us they're saving over $400 a month for coverage they and their children need. For these people, the Affordable Care Act has been more than a success. It's been the answer to a prayer. It's been peace of mind that they've been seeking for years. It's been a priceless sense of security of knowing that if something goes wrong, a torn knee, a car crash, a diagnosis they've carried since birth, a surprise announcement from their doctor, they now know they will be covered. Okay. Now, I want to give you, I go from people to data. Let me give you a data point. Kaiser Family Foundation did a survey of California's uninsured as a baseline survey to help us understand what we're trying to address. Some of the findings of that survey, 1 million Californians who do not have insurance spent their entire life savings last year addressing their medical needs. 1 million. Yeah. 1 million Californians did not put food on their table because they were spending money instead on healthcare needs. Those are numbers, but those are touching people's lives. That's what the Affordable Care Act is doing. Now, I will be the first to admit that it hasn't been easy getting to this point, that it's been a lot of hard work, a lot of talented people doing that work. There's been bumps along the way, and I call them bumps. Some people prefer to call them glitches. I was actually at Halloween. I was trying to figure out how to go as the scariest thing, and I was going to try to dress up as a computer glitch. I couldn't figure out how to do it, so I instead dressed it as a superhero, which is one of our call center employees. So that was it. But anyway, so you've seen headlines across the country and here in California that glitches shut down Obamacare website. It hasn't been pretty. It didn't have to be this way. Let me tell you why, what I mean by that. I talked about the people that have enrolled and covered California. We actually believe in not only shared decision-making, but talking to our customers. We asked them, what did it mean? How did the enrollment work? Was it easy? Did they get information they could use to pick a plan that made sense for them? 70% said it was easy to go through our website and pick a plan. 70%. Now, I don't know how many of you have insurance through your job and have tried to pick a plan through a website. Insurance is pretty complicated stuff. 70% said it was easy. 88% said when enrolling, they had all the information they need to choose the health plan that was right for them. Okay, that's good information. That's good data. Well, let's look nationally. So as you heard, I actually had the privilege of working for the Obama administration for 2 years. It was a great privilege. When I was there, we were talking about how many states were going to stand on the sidelines and let the federal government run their exchanges. And we thought, look, this is a states' rights issue. Hardly any. Maybe 5, maybe 10. That was what people thought was going to be the case. But we were wrong. Tonight, the federal government is running the health exchanges for 2/3 of the nation. State-based exchanges, like Covered California, are operating in 16 states in the District of Columbia. So let me give you a picture of what that means to give you a context of IT glitch issues. Here in California, we are a very active purchaser, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But that means we didn't just say any health plan could come in. We were really picky. We ended up picking 11 health plans to participate across the state. There's 5 in San Francisco, 6 that are offered in L.A. Well, each of those plans can offer different products. On average, they offer 36 different products. This is bronze, silver, different silver, et cetera. We standardize our products. We think that's good for consumers. Okay? That means here in California, we're offering about a total of 400 different selections. Okay? People follow that math? Let's go to the federal exchange, serving those 34 states. They are not an active purchaser. They basically say, any plan that wants to come in, come on in. And as long as it's in this broad band of standard benefits, offer whatever benefits you want, which means that nationally there are over about 200 different insurance companies that each of them offer on average 86 different products. That means a total of 16,000 different product options available across these 34 states. Okay, it is a very, very big lift. Now, this is not to excuse the federal government for not having a good working website, but it is to explain it. That to my mind, the big glitch we have is not the glitch in Washington and a website. It's a glitch of 34 states that decided to play politics with their citizens, that did not man up or woman up to do what California did and say, we're going to take care of our own. We're going to plan from the out of the gate to build a website that's going to work. Rather, the federal government did not know how many states they were going to be responsible for until last year. That said, one of the things that I'd want to note is One of the elements of the federal system is what's called the federal hub, which is we in California will automatically check with the IRS and Homeland Security if you are who you say you are and if you make what you say you make. Now, that may make some of you privacy people a little bit nervous, but we hold that information very close. The federal hub has been working 95% of the time. And when I say working, real time, 3 seconds. Someone's on our website, types in their Social Security number, it's verified in real time. That's a good working system because the federal government system is working well, and it's working well for Californians. So when we think about what's happening here, we can see a huge change that is, again, addressing Californians' needs for health care, but also across the country we're seeing it working. When we see it working, what we're doing here in California and across the nation really requires 3 things for our success in today's world. And the first is affordable products. I noted that we're an active purchaser. This comes from my roots at Pacific Business Group on Health. Some of my colleagues are here from PBGH. Well, I've learned our lesson well. We didn't take all comers. We were really picky. But not only were we picky about saying we won't allow all the plans to come in, we decided we're going to set up the market in a way that works for consumers, not for insurance companies. What's that mean? Well, traditionally, benefit designs have been designed by actuaries and people trying to figure out how to get risk selection and avoid sick people, et cetera, and quite honestly, in some ways, I think to confuse consumers. Covered California said that's not how we're going to put affordable plans on the shelf. We said consumers are better served by having standard benefit designs that are designed to encourage people to get care at the right time at the right place. We've done that across the board. So if you here are in San Francisco, you have 5 plans to choose between. Kaiser Permanente, Chinese Community Health Plan, Blue Shield, Blue Cross, HealthNet. But when you choose between those plans, it's not because of some bizarre quirk in coinsurance or deductibles. They're the same. It's because I believe in this integrated delivery model. Or this one has the medical group I really want to be with. This one has a philosophy for disease management that I care about. That's what choice should be based on. The other element of affordability is price. We ended up getting prices from our plans, and this actually was across the nation, of affordable premiums. Now, affordable premiums does not mean cheap. Healthcare in America is still expensive. But across the nation, the rates that came in were very good in terms of being very competitive rates that Americans can afford. So that's a key element to success that we're seeing today, not just in California, but across the nation. Second element of success is marketing. Again, we've had 2 to 3 years of disinformation and misinformation. We're now educating people in what I call the dragnet, just the facts, ma'am. Here's the benefits, here's what they cost, here's what you can buy. And we've already seen the results in our first month. But we are out there, radio, TV, but also in churches, in schools, across the communities. You know, just this afternoon, I was in Chinatown, here in our neighborhood, displaying Chinese language bus posters, transit posters. We're doing material in Chinese, in Korean, in Hmong, in Spanish. We're out there in African-American newspapers. We're out there in the LGBTQ press. We're reaching out to all elements of California's diversity because that's who we want to get insured. The final element of our success is about effective enrollment. And again, you've heard a lot about federally the computer glitches. Well, computers are important, and I feel very good about the work we've done in California. I also feel quite optimistic about the federal government improving incrementally day over day to make their system work better. It's a big lift. They're focused in on it in the right way. But enrollment is not just about computers. It's about people. It's about people helping people enroll. So in California, we have 5 points of human support for people that want and need to enroll. Number one is our customer service staff. I noted I called them our superheroes. This is another place where actually California is a little different than the rest of the nation. Every one of our customer service people is a public employee, a union member that we recruited and hired over the last 6 months, trained them, And I would put them up against any private sector call center in the nation. They're doing great work. We're holding them to the top industry standards, which are often called 80-30. We want to have 80% of our calls answered within 30 seconds. And they're doing great work. Now, I believe that California is the only state in the nation that has service center that is staffed by public employees. We are also using the private sector left, right, and center. You know, our work on our website with Accenture, Oracle, Get Insured is using the best of Silicon Valley to have the best system we can have. Back to humans, though. So we have state workers answering the phones, doing a great job. Thousands of licensed insurance agents across the state are certified, registered. We have 5,000 today. We'll have close to 20,000 onboarded, working throughout California by the end of this month. Community members, people in community clinics, in local organizations are being certified and trained to be certified enrollment counselors. County workers. There's 58 counties in California. Every one of those have county eligibility workers that have been trained in helping people enroll in whatever they're eligible for. We have taken a no-wrong-door approach. Medi-Cal, covered California, no subsidies, we don't care. Come on in. Every door is the right door. We're going to help people get insurance no matter what it is. And finally, we're actually working with the health plans, having the health plans themselves helping enroll people, keep them insured. Humans helping humans. That's what's going to make enrollment work, and that's why I'm optimistic not only here in California but nationally. Now, we're clearly not a failure. Have we succeeded? No, not yet. In many ways, I'm going to steal a line from a colleague of mine who runs the Exchange in Connecticut, who says, we're at the beginning of the first inning of a 9-inning game. So here we are, 6 weeks into 6 months open enrollment for the next 50 years of healthcare in America. So we haven't succeeded. We haven't won. But I can tell you we're on the field. Consumers are responding. We're meeting human needs. And we aren't going to declare victory. But, boy, are we sure a long way from failure. We're changing lives, and we're doing it effectively here in California. We're doing it in Washington. We're doing it in Massachusetts. And we're doing it in Texas and Florida, where states are trying to get in the way, but the federal government is out there doing marketing, doing outreach, volunteer groups and others out in communities helping people enroll. So finally, the third myth. The final myth is one looking ahead, which is that this is a myth that the Affordable Care Act really only addresses one of those three elements of the Holy Trinity of health reform, access, and not quality of care and not cost and affordability. And first, though, I want to validate the question. It's the right question, because we in America, and I will in particular tip my hat to Arnie Milstein, who's here, who's been a mentor and friend for years, who's been a champion of communicating around this, is we have a crisis in America of both healthcare quality and of healthcare cost. Now, we provide absolutely some of the best quality care in the world, without doubt. And you don't know when you're going to get it. It is remarkably inconsistent. You can get crappy care. You can get great care. Do you know which it is? Well, you should know it's not based on what you pay. It's not based on what it costs. We need to do a much better job on quality. Similarly, when you look at cost, if we don't address healthcare costs, it's going to break the bank of the federal government, of local governments, of business, and of families. So just to remind you of the problem there, 2013, the average cost of family coverage for employer-based care was over $16,000. So many of you probably have employer-based care. You don't think $16,000 for family coverage? I could be taking that home instead of sending that to the healthcare delivery system. You know, that $16,000 is almost exactly the same as the gross full-time earnings of a minimum wage worker in California, $16,000. Well, that cost has gone up year over year. It rose about 80% in the last 10 years, higher in many prior years. And looking federally, Congressional Budget Office, Medicare spending comprises about 90% of this year's federal deficit. If we're going to address the federal deficit, if we're going to address families, we have to get our arms around health care costs. Does the Affordable Care Act do that? Absolutely. In many ways, the Affordable Care Act for the first time gives our nation the tools to address what Don Berwick often called the triple aim, the aim of improving health, delivering better care, while lowering costs. That triple aim is baked into the Affordable Care Act. It's actually baked into Covered California. Let me give you a few examples of what the Affordable Care Act is doing to put us on the path for delivering on the triple aim. First, and you won't be surprised that this is first because I helped get it going, is the Affordable Care Act started the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation. $10 billion, but more importantly, the ability of Medicare to not just be a bill payer, but to be a thoughtful purchaser, to change the incentives to reward better quality, to reward care coordination, to reward shared decision-making. Those are the kind of changes we need in Medicare. Some of those changes have led to the establishment of accountable care organizations. These are organizations that bring together doctors, medical groups, hospitals to coordinate care, improve quality, prevent disease and illness, and have rewards that go to those that do that, not those that do more. Programs for reducing hospital readmissions. You don't want to go back in the hospital. Let's give incentives to hospitals to keep you out of the hospital. The Affordable Care does that. The Affordable Care Act does that. There's a whole range of others that I'm not going to go through to make sure we have time for questions. I will bring it home to cover California. So we brought these home in our contracting with our health plans. Now, I know some of you might be kind of wonky in this crowd. So for those of you that are, I would turn your attention to Attachment 7 of our health plan contract. It's my favorite section of our contract. It goes into great detail about our expectation of our health plans to assure that people with chronic illness get right time, right care, right time, all the time. That people get preventive care and are engaged to stay healthy. That people that have very high cost needs are targeted ahead of time, identified, cared for. We will be working with them a lot, but we can't do that alone. So Covered California is already sitting down with Medicare, sitting down with Medi-Cal, sitting down with CalPERS, sitting down with private employers to say, what do we do together to change payment, to help change the delivery system? So as we launch Covered California, we are in the early innings. We look forward to bringing costs down. We are excited about our prospects. But before turning to taking questions from you, I actually need to ask you a couple questions. Now, I know you in the audience on the phone, you can raise your hands too. So my first question of you, please raise your hand if you know someone who does not have insurance. A nephew, a brother, a sister, a neighbor, raise your hand. Okay? So virtually everyone raised your hand. Those of you who didn't aren't talking to your neighbors enough. We all have family members, friends, neighbors who do not have insurance. Next, raise your hand if you're on Facebook. Raise your hand if you're on Facebook. Raise your hand. Okay, that's 82% of you. Okay. I have a request of you. Covered California, the Affordable Care Act, is no longer about Washington. It's no longer about Sacramento. It's about what we do. It's about what you do in your neighborhood. It's about what you do in your church, in your synagogue. I've been spending time in many churches talking about covering their congregations, covering their cities. It's about talking to one another about the facts of the Affordable Care Act. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hand one more time if you will do one of the two things. Either by the end of tomorrow, I'm going to give you the night off, you will like us on Facebook and share that with everyone that you have as a friend on Facebook. We're on Facebook. Wait, hold on. Or call five of your friends that you think, or family members that you think may not have insurance. And I will confess that it occurred to me last week that I had not called my nephew. I know he does not have health insurance. I hadn't called him up, and I did. Call him and say, hey, have you checked out coveredca.com? Now, I'm not sure if he has yet, but I'm going to bird dog him. So I would ask you to raise your hand if you will do one of two things. Either like us on Facebook and share that with your network, because some of them are uninsured, or call five friends. Raise your hands if you'll do that. Okay, that not quite 82%, but tomorrow night, which is great, but tomorrow night, when you start to go to bed, you put your head on the pillow, you say, damn it, I didn't do that Facebook thing yet. Get out of bed. Take a moment, jump on Facebook. You got a whole day to do it, but this is what it's going to take. There's been so much misinformation, disinformation. It's not about Washington. It's about us talking to our friends and family. And that is why I'm so optimistic about the Affordable Care Act in California, but also in the nation. It's touching people's lives. You can do that by touching your friends, your family members. We can do that. We're going to do it in California, and I'm very confident we're going to do it throughout the nation with the Affordable Care Act. So thank you very much for letting me join you here today. And we will now take questions.
I'd like to remind our online and radio audiences that they're listening to Peter Lee, the executive director of Covered California, talking about Covered California, the Obamacare for Californians. So we can start with questions.
I have an adult son who tried to, when the program first launched, tried to get on the California website and also the federal, and said it was impossible. Now, if I go home tonight and say all that's been fixed in California, can he go on the California site tomorrow and have an easy ride in signing up?
I'm 97% sure, absolutely. So, again, I will tell you, on day one, on October 1, our website was really clunky. We had problems. Day two, it was a lot better. Now it's working very, very well. Now, at some moments, a little hiccup, but again, 70% of people went end-to-end said, this is easy. And I've read hundreds of comments from people that fill out comments at the end. People saying, it took me 15 minutes. It took me 30 minutes end-to-end to get enrolled, to pick a plan, to select and enroll. So coveredca.com, open for business, working great. And I will note, sadly, we've actually had to change some of our marketing. We are now running radio ads that say, whatever you're hearing out there in the news, coveredca.com is open for business and working great, instead of talking about affordability, because there's so much chatter about web experience. But assuming your son is a Californian, you're in great shape. Okay, come on down. Thank you.
And you're doing a good job on that. I heard it on the radio on the way in here.
You did. Yes. I love hearing that. Great.
And we have one question that came in, and the question is pretty technical, but it is simple. I would like to know when the Covered California website will have the ability to allow users, that's future purchasers, to check whether their doctors are part of the insurance plans being offered. Right now, this aspect is very important and not working. In other words, if you want to purchase insurance on the site, there's no way to check whether your doctors and medical centers and preferred hospitals are part of the plans being offered.
Great. So I love this question, actually. And I also like that it's a question in writing, so I can disagree with the person and he can't challenge me or she. But actually, I encourage anyone. One of the things that at coveredca.com, my guess is many of you have insurance through your job. You get to keep it. The Affordable Care Act doesn't take that away. If you have insurance through Medicare, you keep that. But you can still play with our website. You can do that anonymously. That's something you actually can't do at healthcare.gov. And if you do that, you can go and say preview plans. One of the features we have at coveredca.com is a provider directory, where you can enter in three physicians or five or two and say, I really care about these two doctors. We will then display the plans that have those doctors in their networks, or we'll show red X's saying the plans, they aren't there. We change the display and show which health plans have your doctor. Now, this is something that is not basic. This is something that, and I say this with great respect and affection for the large employers I used to work for at PBGH, that is not offered by the biggest, best, large employers in the country. They offer multiple plans, but they do not offer a single directory to help you choose. We do at Cover California. I think we are the only state in the nation that is out front taking provider information from every one of our health plans, putting it in one place. So instead of you having in San Francisco needing to go to five different health plans and say, is my doctor there? It's a one-stop place for physicians. Now, this is also an example of our improving as we go. Right now, you can't also say, I care about UCF Medical Center. The hospital function is one we're going to be adding in weeks or months to come. It's really complicated. And you say, well, why is that complicated? It's actually complicated because the 11 health plans might call UCSF something different. Some might call it UCFF. What's UCSF hospital called here? Is it named after someone? Someone must have given enough money to have it named after them. We don't know. Mount Zion, or the location or the street. The hospitals are named differently by different health plans, and consumers can enter in dozens of different names. So we're trying to fix that. But right now you absolutely can go at coveredca.com, put your doctors in, and that will drive the search selection function at Covered California.
Great. One more written question. It was, I think you answered it earlier on. You said that you picked out five carriers for this area and six for another. Does that mean that there won't be any new carriers next year or new things coming on? Or so this is the, yeah. the options. These are the options.
That's a really good question. We said that we are going to be an active purchaser. We're going to be a purchaser that puts consumers first. And in doing that, we said, if you are a private commercial plan and wants to stand on the sideline to see how this works, we will not let you in year two. We wanted plans that were committed to take a risk, to invest in making this thing work. We also said, if you are a Medi-Cal plan, in California, again, we're expanding Medi-Cal. We have, 15, 20 plans serving the Medi-Cal population. We said, if you're a Medi-Cal plan, talk to us next year. You are dealing in 2014 with huge growth of the Medi-Cal population and also with new systems to deal with what are called dual eligibles. These are people that are eligible for both Medi-Cal and Medicare. It's a big lift. So we've actually said that we will allow new entrants in if they're Medi-Cal plans, but if you're a private commercial plan that wanted to ride on the coattails of those ready to partner with us, ain't coming in. So we may have new plans, but not all comers. Okay? Question in back, sir.
Hi. So you mentioned that you're going to help people get insurance no matter what it is. So I'm wondering, what do you say to people who can't buy insurance through the exchange? There's many people who don't qualify for it, especially in California where a lot of people are undocumented. Where do you send them? Okay. And is it anything that they could possibly afford? My other question connected to that is, how does Covered California interface with Healthy San Francisco or something like a county program like CPMC?
Okay. So a couple things. First, you'll note I say that the Affordable Care Act has made, for Americans, health care a right, not a privilege. It has not been a universal solution for all people that live in this country. The Affordable Care Act does not provide subsidized coverage or access to coverage for people that are undocumented. That's a problem. At Covered California, one of the things we're doing around that is to carry out our continued commitment to working with safety net providers. We as a state and as communities need to make sure we continue to support public hospitals, community clinics, which are the delivery systems that undocumented and people that still will have no insurance will rely upon. So that's going to be vital. We want to continue supporting that. The issues of the law changing that to have undocumented be eligible for coverage through the Affordable Care Act is a congressional issue. We deal with the law as dealt and work within that. With regard to programs like Healthy San Francisco and other programs, they will now, many of their people will now be eligible instead for either Medi-Cal for free coverage or eligible for subsidies in Covered California, and we've been working with them to make sure their enrollees are educated, informed of what their new options are.
When will California residents find out if and how the president's announcement today will affect them?
So I'm not sure. So the president today announced, and I will confess that the entire day, I've not even heard it. I've talked to my staff about it. But the announcement was that the president wanted to make sure that individuals that have insurance in the individual market had ways to continue that coverage into and potentially through 2014. We're looking very closely at those issues right now. We're going to be talking to our board of directors next week. The issue that we want to make sure is that both individuals that have coverage today and people that will newly get coverage are all taken care of, all have options, all have protections, and all have affordable options. And so we'll be looking at that, and I would expect that in the next few weeks it will all settle out. Thank you.
I have a question about the Medi-Cal expansion, and I understand that the expansion is the other side of the insurance exchanges for the Affordable Care Act. Can a person's eligibility be determined by Covered California? And also, my second part of the question is, for a lot of the community clinics that are going to be really greatly affected by that expanded coverage, is there any outreach for them so that they can capitalize on that increased revenue?
Great. So, a couple things. So, coveredca.com is absolutely a one-stop place for enrollment in anything. It is actually a joint website of Covered California and the Department of Healthcare Services, which is the state agency which oversees Medi-Cal. One of the reasons, I think, quite honestly, that our website is working today compared to the federal website had lots of bosses. Our website had two, myself and Toby Douglas. And we were looking at saying, if we need to make a fast decision, we made fast decisions. It is designed to be a one-stop eligibility point for anything and everything. No wrong door. We know that people walking the streets of San Francisco or Lodi or San Diego, they don't know what their FPL is. That's federal poverty level. They have no clue. We're helping people apply and be determined eligible and get care and coverage for whatever they're eligible for. Your second question with regard to community clinics, we're very excited about a range of partnerships we've had with community clinics, including doing a partnership to train close to 1,500 enrollment counselors to be in community clinics across the state to help people enroll in coverage. Now, some will enroll and ended up be eligible for Medi-Cal, some for Cover California, but again, no wrong door. Community clinics are vital resources, both for people that may be in Covered California's private plans that may contract with them or in Medi-Cal. So we've been doing a lot of partnership with them to encourage outreach and enrollment. Okay.
A few things. If one has Medicare, there's a supplement by United Healthcare. Mm-hmm. It started out a few years ago at $68. In 6-8 months, it's going to be already $125 just to cover the 20%. So I'm not, you know, very happy with that.
Well, I'm just stop you right there. Just fine. So Medicare, the changes to Medicare by the Affordable Care Act have nothing to do with the exchanges in Cover California. What the Affordable Care Act has done with Medicare, and it's very important, because we actually on day one got a lot of calls from people on Medicare saying, what do I do? Medicare, you don't call us. Your options have not changed. The Affordable Care Act did two things for people on Medicare. For the first time, it said Medicare will now cover preventive services, which previously were never covered, which is kind of cuckoo. But the Affordable Care Act says preventive services are now covered free in Medicare. Number two, through the Affordable Care Act, prescription drug benefits will be more robust over time, closing what's called the donut hole. But I want to be clear. What we're talking about, the expansion of coverage through the Affordable Care Act is for people under 65 because Medicare isn't changing. So if you've got other questions about Medicare, we should take that to another place because that's not what the Affordable Care Act addresses in terms of Covered California. Okay?
One thing that I don't feel happy about is that it sounds like people will be forced to get insurance, and some people can't afford it.
Okay. So that's a great question. Because the issue about forcing people to get coverage or not. So let me note, the Affordable Care Act does on two extremes. It says if you are a large business and you don't offer your employees health insurance coverage, in 2015 you'll start paying a penalty. Now 98% of large businesses offer insurance. It also says if you're an individual, not a small business, no penalty. If you're an individual and you decide you don't want to buy health insurance, that is affordable, and there's actually standards that if the insurance for you costs more than 8% of your income, you will not get a penalty. But if you have affordable insurance, and that's the line, and you don't want to buy it, you're going to pay a penalty. Now, the penalty in 2014 is $95 or 1% of your income, whichever is greater. So if you make $30,000, you have a $300 penalty. But let's be very clear. People that don't buy insurance, we are all insuring. Because when they go to the emergency room and they have a $200,000 debt that is not paid for, tax dollars pay for that. And so what the Affordable Care Act does say is you could choose not to have insurance, but you're going to pay a penalty. We still may pay a lot more than your penalty to cover your costs if you end up going to the hospital having a $300,000 expense that you can't pay, but you need to at least participate as a citizen to pay that penalty. And this is the law. Our job is to implement it. But the issue of penalties, let me tell you the big penalty. The big penalty is deciding to go without insurance and having a $400,000 debt you live with the rest of your life. And that's where, for all the discussion of penalty, our outreach, and I've talked to thousands of Californians, we've surveyed Californians, the reason Californians do not have insurance is not because there's no penalty. It's because they can't afford it. That's what the Affordable Care Act addresses. Thank you.
I have a question in writing, but I'm actually here in person to defend it if I have to.
Take it and write it instead.
Exactly.
Okay?
Here, George, can you read this? I need to put it into context, though. I'm nearly 50 years old, and for the 30-plus years of my adult life, I've never once filed an insurance claim. And yet last month, I found out that my insurance was going up nearly 80%. In addition, neither the insurance I currently have nor any other insurance policy available on the individual market covers the type of health care that I found to be consistently effective, and which, by the way, is covered by federal and state programs, including CalPERS and Medicare. So this puts me in the position of having to pay even more for something that I've never used and am not likely to use, at least in the foreseeable future. So my question is, how do you respond to people like me who are wondering how and why affordable health care got to be so darn expensive and why it's so limited in what it provides?
Well, let me speak about two things. First, about limited. The Affordable Care Act says there are standards for essential benefits, 10 core elements that every insurance plan must offer, mental health, hospital care, prescription drugs, et cetera. Those 10 standards were then set in each state, codified by what is the state's definition of that. California picked a particular standard that covers for what most people have as saying, boy, that's everything that I won't be left out in the cold. Most plans that are low-cost plans today, people are end up with insurance surprised that, oh, my God, that wasn't covered when they need it. So I don't know what your health issue is, and we won't get into your HIPAA issues or privacy, but the essential health benefits, one of the core things the Affordable Care Act does is say these are essential. Every plan must offer them. So that's actually one of the changes that for some has led to health insurance going up in cost. In terms of the effect on cost, now for people that have insurance in the individual market today, there's actually about 900,000 Californians that are needing to, and the question earlier, when is a question, transition to Affordable Care Act standard essential benefits. Now, the president has said, don't make that happen all at once, you know, make that happen over time. So there's a question of timing that we're all looking at right now. But the issue for those 900,000 people, let me sort of spell out the numbers, about a third of them actually get financial help to lower their costs. Now, that might not be you. You may make more than 400% of poverty. Congratulations. That's great news. That 600,000 that don't get subsidies, some of them are having their costs go down. Some are having it go up. For those that are going up, there's actually two reasons that they could be going up. One is, and again, I'm not going to, I could review your plan later if you like, but one is that people have very thin coverage and they're going to be getting more for their money. Now, they may say, I don't want that more. But they're getting a lot more. For some, though, and I think we should be really clear and direct and honest about this, for some people, they may have had pretty good coverage before and are getting comparable coverage in the future, and they're paying some more. Well, why is that? Because we are having a market that now takes everyone. Instead of the market that we've had, which has excluded people with any illness, that only had people like you that for 30 years had no health conditions at all. I mean, you are an insurer's dream. They love you. You know, you had no claims. You're paying premium all this time. And so in the market, there's going to be some additional costs. The thing I'd take us back to, though, is we need to address healthcare costs not just for you today, but for you tomorrow, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and have a healthcare system that works. The other thing I'd say to you, you cannot foresee what's going to happen. You cannot foresee, and I hope it's not the case, that in 6 months you have a rare cancer that in your old policy may have been excluded. You cannot foresee what may happen, which is the point of insurance. And the insurance rules on the Affordable Care Act say, let's cover everyone for everything essential. And I'll note that in some states, adding maternity care was a big deal. Rates in many states were very different for men and women. And many would say that up until now, being a woman was a pre-existing condition. You could say that, well, wait a second, you know, I don't want to pay for maternity coverage. You know, I'm not married right now. I'm not, you know, that's unfair. But then that woman can say, and why the heck am I paying for coverage for prostate cancer? I don't get that at all. The Affordable Care Act says, let's have coverage to cover everyone for everything essential in a fair manner. Now, this is a transition point in healthcare. This is a shift from a system about gaming and risk and having only healthy people get in, and there's bumps in that. Your experience may be one of the bumps, but I would encourage you to look at what's the value to you of the insurance you're buying, what's the value relative to the money you make, to make sure that if the unforeseen does happen, you aren't left with a $400,000 debt that you can't afford.
Thank you very much, Peter. The federal government could have used a lecture like that for the population. So this ends another event at the Commonwealth Club in its 111th year of enlightened discussion. Thank you very much for coming.